Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
My darling,
hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Tuesday. Hope your Tuesdays are going well. Thanks for being with us here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. You can give us a follow on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague. We'll follow you back. Coming up in the final hour, A-Rod got a new gig. And I asked the question, has anybody gone from hate to love, from like playing career to post-playing career faster than Alex Rodriguez?
I have an answer for you.
Okay, you found somebody. Okay, so we'll talk about his new gig. If you have an answer for me, I would appreciate that as well at 55305. So we'll get to that. Get back into the Damian Lillard situation as he requested a sit-down meeting with the owner, Paul Allen, to discuss the future of the organization and the direction that things are heading. And also, we already had a couple of funny ones texted in about the dumbest thing you've done as a sports fan, either before or after a game, just jacked up being caught in the moment. And we'll revisit the Philly fan who ran into the pole, the subway station in Philadelphia. But Mike Vrabel has been hired as the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And this was a move that was met with some raised eyebrows of, okay, we're going with a defensive-minded head coach. What's the game plan here? How is this all going to look? But so far, people are pretty jacked up about the way he's handled it. And he had his first opportunity to talk to the media at his press conference and just about the situation regarding Mariota, the development, what the offense is going to look like, college football translating to the NFL. And he had some things to say we thought were interesting. Here's Mike Vrabel at his press conference.
No, I have a little bit of a bruise on my arm.
That is the Philly fan.
I have a little bit of a bruise on my arm.
Okay. Well, for that is the Eagles fan.
No, I have.
Oh, they're both the same cut.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So,
yes.
There we go. That was the Eagles fan who ran into the pole. Let's go ahead and read off some of these clips then. So, he was doing his interview talking about it, and this was the quote that got some folks fired up because it was speaking of college football translating to the NFL. He said, the NFL has the greatest farm system in the world. We pay those coaches $10 million to be our farm system. Nick Saban is our farm system. Urban Meyer is our farm system. So he basically admits what we all know. It is the farm system for the NFL. We pay coaches to develop guys for the NFL. And the reason why some folks were either taken aback or curious about this quote was saying, does this lead more folks to say, hey, why aren't the players being played for playing in the farm system for the NFL?
I just think it kind of rubs some people the wrong way. He's pointing out the obvious. He's not even saying anything controversial. He's not telling us something we don't already know. But when you see a coach at a press conference announcing the hire and what his plans are in the future, and then he acknowledges college football and what it means for them, and then to go off and spout out, well, these coaches make $10 million a year. Because we know that they're developing these kids. The people that are pro player being paid sit back and they just chuckle like, of course, of course. You view it as your minor league system.
It's AAA baseball.
And you get away with nobody making a dime. That's kind of like the overwhelming thought, I think, when you hear that cut and you listen to that quote. But to me, I was also happy to hear him acknowledge that college football and what it means to the NFL. Because for some reason, you know, when you come up in the media, as we have the last 7-8 years, there seems to be like this divide almost Well, why aren't the quarterbacks better? Well, the college game's not getting them ready there, Bob. Yeah,
they're not prepared enough.
Yeah, they're not
ready.
They
don't know how to huddle. They don't call plays.
Those systems are not built for the NFL. And I kind of just view it as like, come on, it's a joke. I was happy to hear Rabel basically acknowledge college football is their minor league. These guys are doing an incredible job of getting a lot of these kids ready. Is every player that's a high-end draft pick ready? No, but that's the way the NFL has always been. Regardless of running a no-huddle, regardless of doing hurry-up, college football was built to basically establish a pipeline of talent and have the kids be ready. Yeah. Some aren't, some are.
Yeah, even though that quote sounded great through my high-pitched nasally voice, let's see if it's any better through Vrabel's.
The NFL has the greatest farm system in the world. We pay our farm system coaches $10 million to develop players. Nick Saban is our farm system. Urban Meyer is our farm system. So those are the types of players that they're developing. Those are the types of players that are playing in high school. That's where the game's at. I mean, Tyler's team didn't have a tight end in the school, let alone one on the roster. And so, you know, we're going to find those types of players. But that's where the game's at. You know, you have to try to be creative in what you're doing. You have to cause conflict. It's what these guys are doing. They're taking great athletes and they're putting them in good positions to succeed. And so we're going to do similar things. But again, we're never going to put our quarterback in harm's way.
You put in the email, Dirt, about how he kind of impressed you a little bit at the press conference. He seems progressive.
It was that end part that I actually really liked of what he had to say. I mean, you mentioned the farm system. So, I mean, we knew that. It's just funny that we hear somebody admit it. Like
we pay these guys $10 million each.
Imagine that system in AAA baseball. The coaches in AAA baseball make $10 million, but the players don't make anything. It was the idea of taking things from college and putting them into the NFL. Like when you look at all levels of football, there's one outlier that's not the same as all the others. And it's the NFL. That's the only, everything else is on the same page now. You go watch Pop Warner football, high school football, the vast majority of college football. What are they doing?
Concepts are the same,
spread, no huddle, get guys, zone blocking schemes. That's the way that all other levels of football works. And that's why, like he said, this is a farm system. These are where the kids are coming from. So we're training them to play football one way, drafting them, and then asking them to play football a different way. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, but you had mentioned, because we were emailing back and forth, and we briefly mentioned Vrabel yesterday, but in thinking about Mariota and the future for him in Tennessee, you liked it in listening to his press conference because he seems progressive. He's going after a former Chip Kelly assistant. And I think that's the most vital part, right, is they went out and hired a guy who, in my opinion, if you stacked up resumes, like qualifications, he is not near your top.
No.
He's just not. 1 year as a DC, the defense was terrible. You can tell me he had injuries, but so what? His defense still gave up a ton of points. Before that, he was just a positions coach for a few years. But he got that gig because it probably, most of his interview and what he sees for the future, all leans on Mariota, Mariota, Mariota.
Yeah, if he's going to succeed. Yeah.
Right. How can he develop that? And if you look around this league, We see a few teams in it right now that are competing and teams that got close this year that went defensive-minded because those defensive coaches know and understood how important. Mike Zimmer in Minnesota is a great example. One of the best defensive minds in the NFL.
Sure.
What did he do? He went out and got a Pat Shurmur offense that matched up perfectly with all three of the quarterbacks that were on their roster. They went and developed some talent. Boom, the offense is pretty decent. It's not just defensively driven. Doug Marrone went and took over Jacksonville. We all made fun of them, said they were going to be terrible. That defense was legit, but it was Doug Marrone as an offensive guy that went opposite and said, I'm going to make Blake Bortles consistent. Not great, consistent. It's about finding the balance, and maybe their balance really is Vrabel for defense and go get that right offensive line for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not that Malarkey was a terrible coach. It was that he was simply a dinosaur stuck in his ways. That was his issue. And when we talk a lot about that hire and where they needed to go, it was my only thought process was just get somebody that's progressive in their thinking about football, that's not stuck in 1994, wants to run the same offense they've ran for 30 years. As long as you're willing to adapt and change, things are going to be okay. And Malarkey so far has signified that. And I don't mind that he's a defensive offensive coach because the first hire that he tried to make as his offensive coordinator, the guy's name's escaping me, but he was the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. He went after a guy that coaches and runs a college offense at Ohio State, similar to what he wants to run. You mentioned the next guy he wants to go get is a coach who was under Chip Kelly in Philadelphia and San Francisco. So obviously is familiar with the same offense that Marcus Mariota ran in college. So that's the direction that he's going. And I love that early. Is it going to work? I don't know. But at least you're giving him a puncher's chance running the offense he's most comfortable in.
Yeah, Peter King put in his MMQB that a lot of execs and people around the league, although they question the hire, they compare Vrabel to Bill Cowher. They think he's the next Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
And if you can get Bill Cowher, you're going
to
be okay.
Yeah. So he says you got to be creative, have to cause conflict, taking great athletes and putting them in similar positions to succeed is what college teams are doing. Those are the players that they are developing, and those are the players that they're going to go get. So interesting stuff from Mike Vrabel as he was introduced as the new head coach, the Tennessee Titans, and we'll update you on his offensive coordinator situation. We'll get back into the Lillard stuff at the bottom of the hour. What's his future in Portland after a sit-down meeting with Paul Allen? A-Rod's got a new job. That's still to come, but coming up next, what's the dumbest thing you've ever done as a sports fan? Just in getting caught in the moment of a big game before, afterwards, win, lose. What is it? Because one Philly fan is revisiting his moment of glory running into a pole. That's next on The Fan. Hey, what's the future of Damian Lillard in Portland after a sit-down meeting with Paul Allen? We had Chris Haynes on the show earlier, if you missed it. Talk about that and what it means for the Blazers moving forward. But one of the highlights of the NFC Championship game, because that was a snoozer, basically from start to finish, outside of the first couple of minutes, it had some intrigue. A little bit of a snoozer there in Philadelphia. So one of the highlights, and a lot of the highlights actually, were just Eagles fans in the way that they acted after they won that game. And there was one video that went viral about a fan at the subway wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey, running after a train. He ran into a pole and got put on his rear end. And it was a phenomenal video.
It's pretty funny.
Hilarious. So this guy, he's become quite the internet sensation. People are calling him a hero and a celebrity in Philadelphia. Now, come to find out, it was actually before the game that he ran into the pole. This was not post-game celebration. This was pre-game pump-up. He was so excited and wanted to get one last Go Eagles chant in at the train. He decided to run after it and miss the pole. But a local TV station, Fox 29, caught up with him. And they asked him a couple of questions. Here's the first one about just the injuries that he sustained.
No, I have a little bit of a bruise on my arm. Thankfully my face was saved. It looked bad.
Well,
there.
Yeah.
And my, you know, a little bit of a soreness in my chest.
Thankfully my face was saved.
He also talked about the moment he realized that it went viral.
I found out after the game when I was heading back, ironically, on the Broad Street line trying to get back to my brother's place. It all goes full circle. I started getting text messages from friends.
He started getting texts from friends. So the funny thing is he was asked about it and why he was doing it. His story about wanting to fire people up had me crack it up because we all thought this was post-game. And the fact that it was pregame makes it even funnier. He said he was tailgating basically at his brother's house. They were watching the AFC game. And then they wanted to head down to the link, as he calls it, to get the party going. And he saw Philly fans on the subway train wearing Eagles jerseys. And he said it got his blood pumping so much that he wanted to get one last Go Eagles chant in before the subway took off. And that's what caused the infamous video of an Eagles fan running into a pole.
And I thought at first when I saw the video that it was fake.
It looked like it was fake.
Well, the size of the pole is so big. You're just like, right. How do you not see that running forward? But look, if you've had a couple, cold ones and you knock them down and your adrenaline's going, you're wearing a Brian Dawkins jersey. That's what I also loved is he's rocking the Dawkins jersey. And he says, whenever I put it on, I just lose my mind.
He says he wants to be like Brian Dawkins when he puts the jersey on.
And Brian Dawkins probably gets through that pole. That guy landed straight on his keister.
Well, this got me thinking. And when you told me your story, I immediately remembered it and I started chuckling. And we already have some coming in. So you can send yours in at 55305. But the dumbest thing that... just being jacked up at a sporting event, pregame or postgame, the dumbest thing that you've gone on to do.
So I don't have like a lot of really dumb ones, like hitting something or getting hurt.
Yeah.
The only one that comes to my mind, because mainly most of my teams have not been very good. Me and Crawford went to an Oregon State basketball game. I want to say it was 3 years ago.
I believe it was Tinkle's first year.
It was Tinkle's first year, yeah.
Yeah.
And they played Arizona, who was number 5 in the country. Yeah. And Oregon State had a team that was half walk-on, half scholarship players in GP2. And we went to that thing, we watched, and they beat them. They upset Arizona. It's the craziest upset I've ever seen in person. And we lost it so much in the moment. There was a group of individuals, special individuals. And hindsight, I look back now, and it's like, what were you doing? We lost it so much, we ended up like hurling over them.
Hurling over people who...
Kind of hitting them in the shoulders. Just not having any respect, really. Like, in the moment, we got caught up in it. And because we went down there, we were having a good time. It was a work night. We had like 2 pops, some pizza at American Dream. We thought, we'll just go to a game, whatever. And we were in for an upset. And so, and our way down to the court, because we wanted to go see Doc Parker... We plowed through a couple people that we, in hindsight, it looked terrible.
You should probably not plow over people like that at a game.
Yes,
you
know? Yes, that's my point,
One of those kind of moments. I enjoyed a couple of texts here. We'll get to your stories in a moment. Somebody said, what I can't figure out is how he actually thought he was going to get on the train when it already left. He wasn't trying to get on the train.
No, I think he was just trying to rile the crowd
up. He wanted to yell one more Go Eagles before the train left the station. And he clearly did not see the poll. Somebody also said, I heard the Saints are going to bring that poll in to teach their cornerbacks how to hit.
Ouch. Mainly.
Quite enjoyed that.
Mainly Williams.
Quite enjoyed that. By the way, side note on the Saints. Did you see them trolling the Vikings on Sunday? There were a bunch of Saints players that were making fun of Minnesota for losing the way they did in the NFC title game.
What did they make fun of them for?
Like, way to show up. Thanks, Philly. No miracle today.
It's an easy response. Thanks for watching our game that
scoreboard
you couldn't play in.
Thanks for letting us beat you to get to the... That was weird. I thought that one was strange. Mine was easy. Mine was after the 2011 Rose Bowl when Oregon beat Wisconsin.
That was a good game.
That was a phenomenal game. And when it was sealed there at the end, the fumble on the sideline, and Oregon won, we partied quite a bit. And when you go to the Rose Bowl, there are a lot of college games you cannot drink in the stadium. Rose Bowl, you can. It's extremely expensive, but you can drink in the stadium.
Is it like Blazer game expensive?
$9
beer night?
It's pretty bad, for just your basic domestics. And we pounded quite a few basic domestics back throughout the course of that ballgame. I got back to the tailgate, and I proceeded to, just in celebration, projectile vomit over the tailgate.
Over the tailgate?
Yeah, that was...
Good Lord. I remember my first beer.
Not my finest moment, but it was
Did you rally?
I rallied. It was the first Rose Bowl win in like 100 years. Are you kidding me? I went in 09 when they lost to Ohio State. I went to the national title when they lost to Auburn. And this was like, hey, we got over the hump, won a big game. This is kick-ass. They were Rose Bowl champs. I was ready to go.
So you projectile vomit, and then you just turn around and keep partying?
It just kept going. It was the end of the game. We were cleaning up the tailgate anyways. Just going to sweep it aside and move on to the next spot. Okay.
I feel sorry for anybody eating lunch listening.
Some stories in from listeners. When I was young, stupid, and before the NBA became a joke, I destroyed my bedroom door when freaking out. When freaking Sean Elliott buried that 3 on Memorial Day weekend.
The Memorial Day shot by Elliott, the tiptoes on the sideline.
That is not a good one. Autzen Stadium, Halloween night. We just beat USC. I'm hammered. It's a full moon in the postgame celebration. My sister calls and asks, where's the moon? I turn up to look for the moon, and of course I go down. I grab my buddy. We both go down in a heap and land on an elderly couple in the row in front of us. Nobody was hurt, but extremely embarrassing. Somebody said, when Oregon State was 6-0 in 2012, played at Washington, I invited all my friends and family over to watch the game. Beavers lost. I threw a fit/tantrum on the floor the entire second half in front of the people I invited, 90% of which did not care about sports. They went away thinking I was the most immature person they'd ever met.
For sure.
They didn't get it. Worst birthday party ever.
I mean, they didn't get it. But I don't think it takes somebody to get it. I think you still were immature, but that happens. That's sports.
Hey,
it brings it out of you.
You got to react like that.
I mean, why did they not start Cody Vass? I don't know.
Should have started Vass.
You know what? Whatever.
Somebody said just very simply, I punched a guy in the side of the head after Oregon lost to Ohio State.
Holy
so
crap.
Got that going for you. I wonder if it was the first time or the second time they lost to Ohio State. We talking 09 Rose Bowl or 2014 national title? I have questions.
I hope it's the title.
Bears fan here, Super Bowl 41 versus the Colts. I had coin with a buddy on Hester returning the opening kickoff. He does it. I celebrate by jumping up and down. Didn't consider the ceiling fan. It took my beer and smashed it through the China Hut glass. No bueno.
You still won the bet, though.
Still won that bet.
Speaking of, it's funny you bring that up. Did you see what he's doing? So Devin Hester has teamed up with Pizza Hut. He holds the record for quickest score in a Super Bowl, 14 seconds. If that's beat, everybody that's part of Pizza Hut's loyalty rewards program, which right. is millions of people,
right.
all get a free pizza.
Ooh.
So if there's an opening kickoff and it happens quicker than 14 seconds.
We got that going for us.
You get a Pizza Hut pizza.
If you're a rewards member. One last one. Dumbest thing I did as a sports fan at college at a friend's house. Ceiling was about 8 feet tall. Watching the Seahawks play the Packers when the Fail Mary happened. I jumped. And shot my fist in the air and punched a hole in the ceiling, broke my hand, had to patch the hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
So
I've gotten really upset and I've actually put a hole in a door, but it wasn't over sports. It was for something really dumb, like losing my keys or something.
Oh, really? You're that angry? You punch a hole in the door, huh?
Well, it was like, I was not having a good day. Time's ticking. You're late. You're way behind. You can't go anywhere because you don't have your keys. So you're searching everywhere and you just lose it. One of those, you scream, and I let it out on the door. I had to patch the hole.
27 Oregon lost to USC in 2010. I went behind a dumpster and cried. That's just a funny picture. I don't
God, know. I wish I could see that. Somebody record that. Did anybody record it? Did anybody take a picture?
Those happy tissues or sad tissues?
Are you okay, man?
Yeah, I'm fine, right?
They should have won that game.
I'm fine.
Was that when Maldonado missed the field goals?
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah. He missed a lot of field goals. That was just one of the times that he missed a lot of field goals. So Philly fan that ran into the pole, he says he's doing okay. Thankfully, he is still of good health. It did not happen post. It was a pregame jackup, man. He was psyched for the NFC Championship game and wanted to let the pole know about it. One more go, Birds, and then down he went after running into the pole. Hey, Damian Lillard had a sit-down meeting with Paul Allen about the future of the organization. How does it play out? We talked to Chris Haynes earlier. We'll get into that next. But I didn't stop. Hey, Alex Rodriguez got a new gig. Does anybody hate A-Rod anymore, or is he cool in our books?
He's also doing the dance with J-Lo every night.
That he is, man. That guy's living the life post-baseball. He's got things figured out. And he's got a new job out of it. We'll tell you what that is. Also, the interesting contract situation that goes on around it. The news really of the day in Portland, and this came last night from Chris Haynes, is that Damian Lillard, the star of your Portland Trailblazers, had a sit-down meeting with Paul Allen prior to their game against Indiana this past Thursday. The meeting went on for about an hour. It was the first game of the year, by the way, that Paul Allen had attended in the calendar year of 2018.
I thought you were saying season.
No, yeah, of 2018. And basically, the meeting was about where are we going? What's the direction? What's going on here? His message was that I am turning 28 years old. I have 4 years remaining on my contract. I do not want to spend the remaining years in Portland on a 40-something win team that will make no noise in the playoffs, and it appears that's the direction that they're headed with this upcoming season. But he did say, hey, look, I want to win here. I don't want to go anywhere else and win. But it felt like a putting the organization on notice that the clock is ticking. Let's go out and make something happen. And that was basically, we had Chris Haynes on the show in the first hour, and he basically reiterated that, saying the meeting was just about getting on the same page, and they both left with a positive takeaway about what could be accomplished.
Well, and, you know, I've seen some people say this is nothing but positive news. This is a way for Dame and Paul Allen. They're on the same page, and now things can maybe work themselves out. That may be so in terms of the relationship between owner and player, but I still look at this and say, you got to wonder the clock is ticking and getting near the end there for old Neil Olshey. I just don't know how you read this article and have any other opinion. To me, it feels like Dame has had just about enough of Neil Olshey and the lack of moves and the moves he has made. And he's looking around the landscape of the league, East and West, and stacking himself up with his team and saying, where do I come in at? Well, you come in near the bottom. If you were to say this is an economical class, you are lower middle class. That's what you are in the NBA. And you have a long ways to go before you get to that upper title contending level. And so he's already voiced frustrations with rookie stuff. He mentioned how he supports Zach Collins, and Swanigan's been gone from this team for a while.
Right.
But he really liked Donovan Mitchell. They could have grabbed Donovan Mitchell. He's in Utah dominating. You look at other rookies around this league that maybe they had a chance at. They
Kuzma.
Didn't go get Kuzma.
Could use a wing player that can score.
I think it's a bunch of things that have festered within him and that he's also seen the Blazers miss on. and it's led to this. And now you just wonder, does Neil have the trade deadline to work with? And is that his last hurrah? Do they move on from Neil before the deadline?
Yeah.
We haven't heard any rumblings in terms of that, but I don't know how you don't read this piece, walk away and say, Neil Olshay's time is ticking.
Yeah, and that was the interesting part of it. Neil Olshay not present in this meeting. It sounded like Allen afterwards let folks in the organization know about the meeting and what they discussed. And as of yesterday, Mark Stein was reporting the Blazers were kicking the tires around on DeAndre Jordan. So if you're wondering if Olshay got the message, go make something happen, those trade rumors make you believe, yes, he got that message, and now he's trying to find a way to get a deal. There's two other parts of this that I find interesting. One is the negative backlash that I have seen from some Blazer fans about this, and it is an extremely small sample size, and I grant you that. But you put a Facebook post up today, 1080 The Fan, on our 1080 The Fan Facebook page, about this and the meeting and Damian Lillard and how fans were reacting to it. And the number of folks who chimed in something negative was pretty surprising to me. People saying basically Dame should stay in his lane. He doesn't know about balancing the finances of an NBA team. He needs to worry more about basketball and worry less about the structure of the roster. I could not disagree more with any of those fans. I love when a star player is frustrated about mediocrity. And the reason why I saw this last night, I saw it because you tweeted it out, and I'm like, amen, finally. It's because this is the way the vast majority of Blazer fans feel. We're all sitting around asking the same question Damian Lillard has been asking now is, where are we going? What's the plan? What are we going to do? Are you moving? Are we staying pat? Are you sticking with all these bad contracts? Are you breaking up Dame and CJ? What's the direction? Because it might not work to make a big swing and trade and see if you can balance the roster out. You could lose, and that's a reality I think we all have to live with. The one reality, though, that we know is this roster as constructed is not going to do anything meaningful this season. Last night was further example of who they are. Should have won that game. No excuse to lose it. Of course, they find a way. So the fact that he agrees with me as a fan of wondering, what's the direction? When are we going to change things up? I love that as a Blazer fan that he took that upon himself to sit down with Allen.
Yeah, and we had Haynes on. You know, he basically said that he's talked to rival execs who are saying CJ is not available. Dame and CJ not available in trade talk. Sure, maybe right now, but even with trading CJ, if that's the route they end up going and they say this is the only way we can, one, get some financial flexibility a little bit and dump a contract, and two, it gives us the most return on value, even if you're willing to do that, you're still not changing this year's team, right? To me, the meeting with Dame was more about what can you do, trade deadline, summer, going into next year. Because next year, he'll have 3 years left on that deal. He'll be 29, potentially going on 30. And it will continue to be building up for him more and more about where they're at as a franchise. There's nothing wrong with star players doing this. LeBron James is the master. He manipulates it. He fires coaches. He changes everything the way that he wants it.
Yeah.
Star players in this league have long been granted this power. It's just over the last, I'd say, 10 to 12 years, star players, and this is primarily, in my opinion, based on LeBron James, realizing more and more they control everything. The dynamic of those teams are controlled by how happy and what a star player wants. Dame's not a superstar, but he is your star. And if you're not willing to trade him, he is everything. You want to continue to be with Dame because he wants you in return. What are you going to do to accommodate him? Because having a team where maybe you get rid of CJ, but you put role players around him, that's not changing a damn thing.
No, you're the same team.
It feels like they have a few moves to make to really want to get back into that conversation within the Western Conference, especially with Houston and Golden State going nowhere.
Yeah, and the part about CJ and just where he's heading with this team that caught me a little off guard, maybe it shouldn't, but when we had Haynes on, we were talking about the likelihood of trading CJ McCollum and how Dame would react to that. And he said that as of last night, Haynes had been talking to other general managers around the NBA, and they are all hearing that CJ McCollum is off the table, that the Blazers are not willing to listen to any trade offers at this current time. And that's where I got really confused, and maybe that's something that they're just keeping close to the vest, and they don't want people to know that he's on the market. Maybe they don't want the team to know that he's on the market, and they're just simply hiding it. And if that's the case, then I'll apologize. But if that is the mindset of this team, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And we all know you have to give up something to get something in return. There is not a whole lot of attractive pieces on this roster. I know we've done this segment a million times about the trade value of certain players and the bad contracts. That was the thing that really took me aback, though, was you get this message. It's like, okay, let's find a way to improve the roster. Let's make a big move to satisfy Damian Lillard so he's happy over the next 4 years. But we're not going to trade anything to get anything, so nothing is going to change.
Yeah, I just kind of view it, too. It's an opportunity to make everybody happy. I mean, Dame clearly doesn't like where the roster is. If you asked him, do you want to play with CJ? Of course, he's going to say yes. They're friends. But if you told him in return your team can be this much better, I think he's always going to want to do whatever it takes to be better. And then flip it to even CJ. CJ hasn't been as vocal. He talks about how he likes Portland. He likes it here a lot. He signed the contract, et cetera, et cetera. But CJ would have an opportunity to go to another team and shine even more. He's already being recognized. Like Zach Lowe wrote in his all-star picks. They have no bearing on it, but he wrote his all-star picks. CJ's name is in it. Says CJ is one of those borderline players. He's right there on the right roster. CJ McCollum probably ends up putting all-star numbers up even more so than he does now. And he gets a chance to be looked at as the guy to shine even more. So sure, he wants to be in Portland, but you don't feel it quite as much as you do when Dame talks about it and Dame tweets it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those situations that maybe long-term, I think everybody ends up happy and okay with it.
Yeah, we asked a poll question today. Lillard had the sit-down meeting with Allen to raise concerns over the direction of the organization. He has 4 years remaining on his contract. Will he be in Portland for all four? 67% say, yeah, he's going to stay committed.
And I've done a million trade machine scenarios.
Machine's the best.
Oh, I get wrapped up into it all the time. I don't think it's even possible, logical. I would be doing everything if I'm Neil Shea today, fearing that my job is on the line with the next move I make. I'm doing anything and everything I possibly can, minus Dame, to see if San Antonio is remotely interested. If Jalen Rose is coming out on national TV and proclaiming Kawhi Leonard as a guy that wants out, and Adrian Wojnarowski is going on ESPN shows and saying, this has been building for a few months, he's kind of disconnected.
There's some validity behind it.
They can refute it all they want, but damn, man, if San Antonio gets value, San Antonio does not want to be beholden to a player.
CJ Nurk, a couple of first-round picks. What else do you want? Take it all. You can have it.
No chance, in my opinion, of happening, but I'm just saying, like, I am making a call and trying to do anything I possibly can.
Yeah, so that was one of the other storylines in the NBA today. But Lillard meets with Paul Allen, frustrated about things. But according to Chris Haynes, everything is on a positive note. We'll see if any traction happens before the trade deadline. If you missed that interview, you can catch it. We'll tweet it out as soon as we're all done here. There was one other NBA note outside of the Kawhi Leonard being unhappy in San Antonio that I wanted to bring up in the final segment. Also, A-Rod's got a new gig, and it feels like everybody loves him now. Close the show with that next on The Fan. Hey, plenty of drama in the NBA this year, and that just continues. You mentioned it at the end of last segment that Jalen Rose reporting Kawhi Leonard wants out of San Antonio. He's unhappy there, and that was on the heels of the Woj report. So watching where that goes will be fascinating. And the other thing that I saw yesterday that had me chuckling a little bit is the Kevin Love situation in Cleveland. So they got blown out. They gave up, 150 points over the weekend to Oklahoma City. And Kevin Love left the game because he said he was sick and he didn't show up to shoot around on Sunday. And the Cavs had a team meeting, a player-only meeting on Monday. And it sounded like they all just ripped Kevin Love a new one for being soft and not playing through the flu.
Sounds like they ripped each other, though, too. Like
they
Kevin Love
yelled
got,
at each other.
Yeah, Kevin Love got the brunt of it. And Isaiah Thomas reportedly is the one that led it. I thought they were really good friends. There was a whole story on them, and they took a picture together in high school. But, boy, that is a team. If you told me their roster is half turned over within the next 2 weeks, I'm not going to be shocked
just
at all.
Change it all up. You got one more chance here with LeBron. Go all in. Try and get somebody there that can help out. I saw that. That one made me chuckle. Kevin Love will always be connected to Portland. I don't think that's a trade that will ever happen. But just thought I'd point that out, that the Cavs had a players-only meeting and yelled at Kevin Love and each other. Tyronn Lue laughed about it. The head coach of the Cavs, he said his teammates are not doctors. They don't know how sick he was. That was the quote from the head coach. I just that one made me laugh a little bit.
Well,
so
is he going to get fired too, you wonder?
Has LeBron had enough of Tyronn Lue?
Well, LeBron's had enough of every coach. I think LeBron, LeBron's a weird cat in general, but yes, if you told him he could be the owner, GM, coach, and player, I think he would sign up for it.
He would do the whole thing. One other note on LeBron, by the way. We are LeBron fans of his game, at least, but admit at times he could be a little douchey. He did something on Instagram that deserves to be made fun of. Now, he's on the brink of being the youngest player to score 30,000 points in the history of the NBA.
16 points away.
Which is it's a remarkable feat. It speaks to the player and the career that he's had. LeBron James put up an Instagram post last night congratulating himself on reaching 30,000 points before he reached 30,000 points.
I will never defend LeBron James' social media.
That's a little weird.
I'll defend LeBron James, the player. I think people are really stupid if they have opinions about where he stacks up with certain players. But I won't defend that. That was the most strange, egotistical. What are you doing?
He put up a picture of himself in high school. He's like, I want to congratulate you on reaching this milestone.
Like, I can't remember. It may have been somebody on Coward Show, but I heard somebody was just like, let somebody else post that.
We're all going to. When you get to 30,000 points, it's like, oh my God, look what you did. What a great career.
Or,
run.
When you actually accomplish it, say,
yeah,
crazy to get to this feat. Never would have thought a kid from Akron, like he always likes to say, do it after. What if you go out and score 10 points?
What if you only score 15, come up one short?
You tweak an ankle. You have to leave a game early. You're short.
It's not
good. So now we just sit on that post for
Hold it. Hold it. He'll get there eventually. So LeBron did that last night, and he deserves to be made fun of for that. I asked you the question before the show. Has anybody gone in their playing days to their post-playing days from hate to love faster than Alex Rodriguez?
I see. Hate is a strong word.
People hated Alex Rodriguez as a baseball player.
I don't think people hated Tony Romo, but I don't also think people love to make fun of, tease and dislike Tony Romo. And I think in one season of play-by-play, he's turned a lot of people around on him.
That's not a bad answer right there. That's not a bad one. Because the hate to love tour continues for A-Rod. It was announced today, hired to be the new color commentator for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. And he's actually going to have a contract that allows him to both work for Fox in the postseason and ESPN during the regular season. The power of A-Rod is a real thing.
Well, you mentioned who's doing the play-by-play with
Matt Vasgersian is doing the play-by-play.
So he's doing both as well.
He still is going to do stuff for Fox, the MLB Network, and he's going to be the play-by-play guy for ESPN.
I mean, ESPN's already airing MLB Network television shows.
That they are.
The so Fox what's
one,
the difference?
The Fox one for A-Rod was unique, because is there anybody else in broadcasting that has a deal like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about baseball guys.
No, I'm saying in any sport. Like, this would be like Barkley being hired on ABC to be their in-game commentator, but also doing games for...
I think there's a couple of announcers that for soccer that work back and forth. But again, that's soccer, so I know what you guys think of that. But
I don't know. I don't know enough about play-by-play stuff like that.
I'll just say this. Sign me up for this booth, man. It's going to be Vasgersian, A-Rod, and Mendoza will still be in the booth.
Oh, Mendoza's still around?
She's there, and then Buster Olney will be
the sideline or dugout guy.
I thought she was getting mixed reviews.
She's been up and down for people. The whole booth has been unique of just where, it started with her and Schilling, I think, and then it was like her and Crook did some games, and then it was Boone. It's been a patchwork group, but you give me Vasgersian and A-Rod together calling a game, that's solid for a Sunday night.
Vasgersian call games right now?
He does, He MLB calls a lot Network. Of games for MLB Network.
Oh, okay.
And he's kind of the secondary guy for Fox games when it's not...
When it's not Buck?
When it's not Joe Buck.
Or when they go regional, when they have like six games at once or something.
Yeah, so you'll hear him call playoff games and stuff. He's their secondary guy. He's a solid play-by-play voice. So.
Well, we'll see if A-Rod can be as good on like a... more regular basis calling play-by-play than breaking down a game in the post-game. It's a lot different there.
Much different gig than just being your studio analyst. So A-Rod's got a new gig. Hard to hate him still. There you go. Good little show today. If you missed any of it, Les Schwab Tires podcast.
Yeah, this is a good one. Lane Kiffin. It's a great one.
Oh, that's a fantastic one.
People made fun of and disliked that dude so much. He left Bama, and in 1 year because of Twitter, a lot of people love Lane Kiffin.
Also, the way he got yelled at, there was some sympathy there with what he went through with Nick Saban. That's a really good one. Solid play. If you missed it, we had Chris Haynes on the show. He wrote the piece about Damian Lillard's sit-down meeting with Paul Allen. We also had Tom Verducci on, speaking of baseball, of Sports Illustrated and Fox Sports. We asked him about Major League Baseball to Portland, the Hall of Fame vote coming up, and expansion in Major League Baseball. So go find both those. Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com. We'll tweet them out as well, at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080thefan. That will do it for us today. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. We will talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.